Blog Talk Radio.
Marvelous Monday, like to do in the morning, rest upon my heart.
It's so good to be back with you, man. Dr. Larissa D. Smith, and talking real to you. And we are very excited about doing this show on Monday because we're going to bring you some just plain old life issues. And we're going to talk about it. We have a special guest tonight that's joining us, and we want to make sure you have an opportunity to share some awesome things about what he's doing in his ministry, what he's doing with his youth group. So I'm so excited to have him to accept this invitation. But this is not his first time on the show, so we want to make sure to say thank you very much before he even gets started, after I go through my normal opening of my show remarks and everything. But I will just say to him, as I know he's on the line right now, thank you for joining us again. But we want to make sure we do what we're supposed to do so we can pay a few of those bills. That's what it's all about. Talking real to you is all about just plain old life issues. But besides that, it is the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in this country. So we are excited about being able to bring this to you from all points of view. And our call-in number is 347-857-4192. The web link to hit his show is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And if you want to tweet the show, you can go to @TalkingRealToYou, @LorenzaDSmith15, and @Coach_L_Smith. All right, so we want to get this show started, but I got to introduce my co-host. Now, at this time, my co-host is one of them. I know called me and said they won't be able to make it, but I know it's going to be exciting regardless. But the other one is working on trying to get online right now. But I'm going to introduce each and every one of them, and I have one on the line with us, and I do appreciate that individual being here. But I want to give them that raving introduction like I do all the time. First of all, the daughter that make up this father and daughter show, she's not here because she's trying to get on the line right now. And her name is Lauren D. Smith, and she's my daughter. She's instrumental. She's still going through rehab. You know, it's going longer than we thought it was going to be, but she keep grinding at it and keep doing what she need to do. But she's calling in and trying to get in right now. She's on the road now trying to make sure she do that as well. All right, the other co-host that's come from the great state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, and my sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, none other than Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
Good evening. I love the introduction. You're doing it tonight. And good evening to our listeners who join us every other Monday for the Real Talk Radio and the only father and daughter blog show on radio in this country. So it's good to be with you again tonight, and we're so happy and pleased with our guest that's joining us tonight.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Scarlett. And we're always glad to have you here, Scarlett. You know, you always keep us joyful and excited. And I'm so glad that when you decided a year ago to join us, I say thank you. But that keeps the blue and white family still rolling. It's a family affair. That's what it's all about. All right. And
another
co-host who's not here, I know she called me. She was in the emergency room all day today. And she managed to get out about 30 minutes before the show got started. She said, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. And that's Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of none other than Jonesboro, Georgia. So she's not on the line, but she normally joins us, and we look forward. When we do pray that she feel a lot better and her health is progress to its greatest point. Now, let me get ready to introduce this young man. He's a game changer. That's why I had to play that music. Well, we did the do, but on the preview show, we played Game Changer. We're going to end it up with Game Changer tonight. But we're going to let the Game Changer come in and make things do what it do. As I said, he came on his first show we had. He was our first guest on the first show we ever had. Was Talking Real to You, but it was called Real Talk. It was called Real Talk. So we changed it and went to Talking Real to You, and now he's with us again. At the time, he was running for county commissioner of Clayton County in Georgia, and we were so excited. And he is a member of our fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, and I'm always glad to have him standing by my side or with me, whether he's on 200 or 300 miles. Timothy Kenny, Mr. Game.
What's
Changer.
Going on, my man?
How you doing, my brother? You doing? I can hear you well, brother.
Oh, yeah. I'm good, man. I'm just getting out of the gym, working hard, you know. Doing a lot of stuff in the community right now, man. Right now, you know, we're on the verge of now my book drops in April, 365 Days of Inspirational Quote. And we're working on the Game Changer Foundation, a location in Clayton County for youth that's underprivileged youth from 8 to 18. Most of them have no father figures in the home. So we got mentors that's going to mentor them from 8 to 18. So working on a lot of stuff right now, as well as I've been elevated to the new campus pastor in Barnesville at Gordon State College.
Awesome, man. I tell you, Tim, you keep on grinding. You know, I met Tim many, many years ago, and he can tell you that was many, many years ago I met him. And hopefully I was an inspiration for him. He definitely inspired me enough to make sure we keep this long-standing relationship, not only as fraternity brothers, but also as friends. And I do appreciate it. You got a lot of things going on, and, you know, we always handle our show this way. You know the routine is that we allow you to take time to just share everything you want to share in regards to what your program is all about, what your foundation is all about, and what your ministry is all about. We want you, just like these things you introduced during the beginning of it, we want you to share, but we also allow our callers and our listeners, as well as the co-hosts, to ask questions. At some point, we'll give you a chance to catch your breath, and we always like to ask our questions so you can catch your breath. But you know the way I work my show. I like to let those interviewees talk in their manner, at their pace, share what they want to share, and if it's something we're questioning, we'll come out and ask the question. So, you know, without further ado, we have with us the CEO of Game Changer Youth Foundation, my fraternity brother, Timothy Kenny. Let's go with it, Timmy. Timmy, make it do what it do. You know I said Timmy because I've been knowing him a long time. Go ahead, on, Tim.
But, man, working after the campaign, I didn't make it, fell short. But it put me in a bigger position with different people in the community right now. And so just changing the game for our youth, because a lot of people forget about our youth. And they're on the verge of, you know, they're on the chopping block right now, you know, from the shootings to, you know, they got the gangs in Atlanta right now. And, you know, that they got you ride around to get initiated with the car, with the lights and all that stuff. So my focus is getting our youth and showing them a positive positive person in a lighter manner to really inspire them right now. So that's my goal with Game Changers. You know, I also have a clothing line, Game Changer clothing line, with my hoodies and my shirts and all that stuff. So I'm always out there trying to get that hustle on as well, you know, as well as inspiring my young men out there, because I feel like my young men are – that if we don't do something, they're going to be extinct out here, the way society is going and all that stuff. So I'm very grateful to be inspiration, as not just in Clayton County, but in Atlanta as well, because I do a lot of stuff in Clayton County, but I'm venturing over to Gwinnett County and Fullerton County and all that stuff right now as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. I tell you, now, when we're always out trying to do things to help our youth and put our youth in the position to be successful, I always talk about success, and that's what it's all about. So having this foundation out there, giving individuals an opportunity to be successful or see success. I think one of the things our communities are among, and so-called, if we want to be role models, we have to show and present to our young people what success looks like. It's not always the Michael Jordan. It's not, and that is success, and Magic Johnson, the Kobe Bryant, and the LeBron James. We actually have the teachers, the ministers. We have the lawyers. We have the just a worker out there working hard, the individual work at the kiln plant, the individuals that work look at the Hyundai plant. They out there successfully doing things to carry on what they need to do in their community, but besides that, care on their families and make sure they're successful. So give them that pitch is what we're all about. Tim, since you just shared some information in regards to your background or your foundation and everything, Callie, tell me, I know you said simply you started off with seeing so much going on with the gun violence and everything. This organization started – did it start exactly based on that? Did it start through your church organization? Did it start with a fraternal organization? How did it get started up besides, you know, just saying we see that's going on? We want to know about the Game Changer Youth Foundation.
Well, basically, it was probably around about 5 years ago I started to go to church. You know how we go to church all our life, but really started to focus on God and focus on my calling. And the bishop at this church, which is my bishop now, was talking about being a game changer. He was talking about Michael Jordan, how he kind of changed the game and kind of went into details how Michael Jordan's coach said he would never play basketball in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the sermon was called Game Changer. So I was like, wow, that's cool. And I just kind of like, before I even thought about a foundation, I just started to get these shirts together, the baseball shirts, and put Game Changer on it. And I started just kind of market it on Instagram and Facebook, and people started to buy it. And it just went from there. And then I started to make, like, Game Changer conferences. Like, inviting a whole bunch of youth with different activities to do and all that stuff. And then I finally came, I was like, I want a Game Changer Foundation. I want something that's going to benefit our young people in society, which you're able to have two mentors to walk with you from 8 to 18. Because I came from a fatherless home. My father didn't raise me. Actually, like, my grandma raised me and my brother. So coming from a fatherless home, you see a lot of stuff that you did not get because of, you know, from your father. But, you know, my grandma did a great job in raising me and my brother. So I look at a lot of our young men don't have the father figures, and a lot of them lashing out, you know, because they don't have the father figure in their life. So it just kind of dawned on me, let's go with the foundation. And here we are, you know, 2019 foundation, and now it's we're looking for a building to put it in and go from there, man. Just go even higher. But it just was conceived out my pastor preaching about being a game changer, and it just went from there.
Hey, man, that's awesome,
so,
man. I say,
Brother Kenny, let me ask this question. So basically, in the Clayton, Georgia community, that's where you started. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
You're branching out throughout the state. So if someone wanted to access the foundation, how would they go about it? If someone, because you're looking for a mentor, male mentors for young boys and young men from 8 to 18, how would they go about accessing your foundation?
They would give me a call at 404-587-1761, or they can email me at Timothy_Kenny, KENNEY, at hotmail.com.
Awesome.
And if you introduce somebody, make sure they have a clean background because they're going to want a background check too.
That was my next question. Yes.
And a lot of people to you, they're like, the background is like, well, we can't use you.
Exactly. And we have to always keep that in mind as an educator. Now, Timothy, he didn't say that.
Yes.
He is an educator.
I am an educator.
Very young. Yes, sir. Yes, mm-hmm. sir. So, you know, we didn't mention that. We talked about administration being his foundation. Go ahead on, Tim.
I said you got to keep that background clean. Got to.
Oh yeah.
When you're looking for these mentors, what are some of the characteristics that you're looking for in the mentors to these young men? What are some of the characteristics?
A lot of things I look for is work ethic. What have they done in the community? I do take in that a lot of the mentors are kind of like me. They grew up with without a father, so they want to benefit and they want to build from, you know, for them as well. But I do look at the characteristics of, you know, their background, their work ethic, what have they did in the community, how do they treat their wives or whoever they're linked to. That is very important to me too as well. Do they have a father figure in the home or all that stuff? So there are a lot of questions we ask them. Is, you know, those are some of the basic questions that we do ask them. Because we want to make sure, and one of the things I want to make sure that you know up front, that the kid that you're going to get is from 8 to 18. That means you will have to be the mentor from 8 to 18 until he graduates. That means you got to be there. If you can't do that, then, hey, maybe it ain't for you. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
If someone has, let's say that someone in their youth or their growing up, and I'm talking about the mentors now, maybe had a transgression with the law or whatever, but they turned their lives around and they're really making progress. Like a Judge Mathis, you know, he talks about his background Reverend Jesse Jackson, who really helped him get his life in order, and now he's a judge. Would that preclude someone from being able to apply to be a mentor in your foundation?
No, I would actually look at the background. And to me, I believe in giving another chance. I mean, we did some stuff and we've been given another chance. Just because the background is bad, I have the authority, because I am the CEO, to say, hey, I still want him to be a mentor. So
okay,
it's up to the CEO. Most of the time when I see that, and I see somebody don't had a bad past and they changed their life around, I still want them to be a mentor regardless of what the background say. Because I believe God is a God of a second chance. So why shouldn't we be people of a second chance?
Second chance, yes.
Well,
yes.
Also, too, they bring certain knowledge that could really help a young person to keep from going into the same direction that they did when they were younger or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Like for example,
yes.
This guy was in jail selling drugs and all that stuff. He got out of jail. I think he did like 10 years, got out of jail, went to school, and after that he became a lawyer. He's actually one of my he was a mentee, but he's becoming a mentor in my organization. But I could have easily said, well, you've been in jail and you were dealing with drugs. But I look at him as a great inspiration to what I'm trying to do, because now he's a lawyer in Clayton County. And he took a bad situation and he turned into lemonade.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes we have a tendency to think that you have to be perfect in every way. As a former principal, we had a similar program inside the school, and we look for people that could tell a story that could be an inspiration to children after they got their lives together, so to speak. So that's good to hear.
Awesome. You know, and the call-in number, if you want to be a part of this, is 347-857-4192. Call in, and if you want to just share your story with Brother Kenny, you can do that. If you just want to ask a question, that's fine. But what you make sure you do when you call in, press 1. And I will identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to identify yourself and location, and then to join in the conversation. And just to get back to that, when we talk about background check, you know, even in education is required in all jobs dealing with children. There's a background check that must be done. And a lot of times people may have some things that occurred early in their life and it had nothing to do with young people. It just had to do with them making a decision or, for example, outselling drugs because the environment you grew up in, that's what you had to do to survive. I know some people can simply sit over there and say, no, you don't have to. But when you grow up in that environment, we are products of our environment now. And when we are part,
you
are see survivors the only way. It's the only way we can survive is to go out there. In the old saying about in the jungle, you have to adjust your behavior so you can survive in the jungle. But in society, you have to adjust your behavior so you can survive. But that's one mistake that person may have made, a choice. I won't say mistake, but a choice they made. But now they're and serve their time, or they learn from that, and now they're here in the community and can offer that wisdom that will probably save one young man from heading down the same track. And sometimes we, as because we're educators and we have these degrees, we don't understand it. You know, I always said my dad is good about saying that. He's 85, just turned 85 in January on the 30th. He always said, you know, son, you got all that book sense, but you ain't got a bit of common sense. And, you know, we need
right.
both to be able to operate
Amen.
In society. Now, just because we got all mm-hmm. these book sense and we made the decision not to go that way, but that person have some common sense. But what would they're just like this young man that Brother Timothy talking about, who was in jail, got out, went to college. Judge Mathis was in jail, got out, went to college, became a lawyer and a judge. So the point is, they got book sense, and now they got common sense. They got common sense, and now they got book sense. So the thing about it, in our society, we have to understand that. And we want you to make sure you understand that. Excuse me. Brother Timothy is sharing those thoughts. But, you know, just another question, Brother Timothy. I'm going to ask this question. We don't want to bombard you with a whole lot of questions. But
go ahead, man. Go ahead.
All right. With your organization, what particular programs are y'all doing to help the youth in, you know, that's part of the organization besides mentoring? Are there any kind of programs set up to help the young people with filling out application? I'm just going to use that. Or are there some kind of program where they're able to be remediated so they can get their high school diploma? Or is that mentor working with them? Any kind of programs? Can you share some thoughts on that?
Well, we work with them with basic stuff. Most of them are, like, in school or in like middle school or high school. But we work with them with different stuff. Like, we work with them with how to tie ties, how finances are very important, what is credit. Because growing up, I didn't know when I went to college, I got all these credit cards, and now I had to pull myself and get myself out of debt. A lot of kids will go to college and not know that and just get the credit card. So we have credit card financial seminars for them to say, hey, this is what you don't want to do when you get to college. And also we help them go into, like, you know, take the test or get ready for the SATs free on us. And we help them find the colleges that they pick, and we pay for the application instead of them having to pay for the application. Like, if they want to go to Morehouse College, it might cost $100. We pay for those applications. So we help them in a lot of ways, you know, when it's time. And we give them many seminars, you know, hanging out with them, taking them to the movies, maybe a Saturday at Six Flags. But it's all about being a mentor and making sure that we are a light in their eye. And they say, hey, I want to be just like my mentor. Or rather than being a person, like, out on the streets, I want to be like Pookie out on the streets that's selling drugs or, you know, doing this and that.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I'd like to, 2 weeks ago, well, Monday before last, our show was on credit counseling, and that group, marvelous job in talking about how they work with young people. So I don't know, Dr. Smith, we can hook them up with this program.
I'm a living testimony, man. I'm a living testimony of going to college, getting all these credit cards, and I'm a living testimony of that because I was able to go through my credit report and rebuild my credit back. Because a lot of people, when they get in that situation, their credit is at a 5. So my credit was at a 5, and that's up to a 7. People get in that situation, and they feel like it's no way out the situation. But you just got to start looking at your credit report, and a lot of stuff can fall off there. You just got to send letters to it.
Well, on this show, the guest speakers Monday before last dealt with that very situation, and they work with young people. They also give scholarships in the communities of between $250,000, and I think they're going up to $350,000, didn't they say, this year?
Yes.
So maybe we could, Dr. Smith can put you in touch with them because it was excellent. I think they had also spread out in Georgia. So that's something you might want to tap into with your foundation that can help your program and the young people that you're serving in your program.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's good. That's good information that you just gave. Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, you could be a part of this as well. The call in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I identify you. And I'll actually tell everybody in the background when they mute your phone, because I know everybody like to hear themselves talk. Mute your phone so we can make sure that we hear what you're talking about. Then you just will last four digits, I'll call out and say, you know, you're now here with us. What's your name? And now what is your location? And share your thoughts on this. And that's awesome. Tim, let me kind of pull and kind of share some things what you I've been observing on your Facebook page, and I appreciate you being a Facebook friend besides being a friend and a fraternity brother. In your classroom, I know you're a lot of time pulling out young, you know, some of the young men, young ladies, and making sure they're being identified on a weekly basis. And I think that's something you're kind of missing out our community. And that can spill, go right over to what you're doing in your Game Changer, because sometimes we forget that if you don't give us our flower while we yet live, it does no different or any good for us when you give it to them when we yet transition and gone. So just kind of share that, kind of see how you those ideas you use in your classroom, you also push for in your Game Changer Youth Foundation. Is there any kind of programs that award programs that you may have, or some recognition programs that you may do to kind of keep those parents involved, because every parent wants to see their child get something. Even if it ain't number one parent, and the parent maybe I be in the best position. They're so proud to know that John Jr. was able to get some, not only from the school, but attending your program. But just share some thoughts on it in regards to some things you all may be planning to do or want to do in the future to make sure those young people that's part of your program is recognized just in the community or just among their peers.
Oh, that's great that you asked that, because me and my team right now, we just got our scholarship package together, which is kind of like we're giving away 12 scholarships, $500 a piece. And it's they go through the package, having to write an essay and all that stuff. And at the we're having a big gala, a scholarship gala for them in May of 2020. Right before they kind of graduate from high school, it's for high school seniors, which I think it's going to be great. This will be my first time doing a big gala for scholarships, but I wanted to do something for the seniors because we wanted to make sure that we give away scholarships, because it's very important. A lot of people don't know where scholarships are given at, and they go through their first year of college and not having scholarships, and having to borrow loans from the school, and then not realizing, yeah, you get a refund check back, but you got to pay all this stuff back after you graduate.
Exactly. Awesome.
And
awesome.
Let me ask you this question. That's great about the gala, and wish you well in getting that set up.
And
in terms of the parents,
if y'all could come for free, you know, I have y'all a table set up and all that stuff as well.
Awesome.
All right,
awesome.
Man. Are we up for travel? Yes. We're up for travel. The team will travel. We talk real to you. Each week we say that instead of us as a people waiting on someone to come on a white horse to save us. And tonight, this is just another example for our audience who've been following us of how one person can make a difference. And it's clear that you're trying very hard and are making a difference. How do you get the parents to buy into your program, and how does it, how can I put it, that the mentor does not become the sole responsibility. Is that making sense? How you get the parents to buy in, but also pull their weight in terms of working with the mentor to mentor their child.
Well, one of the things is because I am a teacher, I have a great connection with my parents as teachers. So I use that whole gift of having that connection as a teacher with my parents to have a great connection with each mentee parents to kind of like see what we're doing, how it's pushing your kid. Because instead of them coming to me and saying, hey, Minister Tim, could you talk to my kid? I say, hey, I got a program we can get into. You just got to go. They're at the program with them. So having that communication
good.
With the parent is always good. And let them be there, the mother be there and see how your kid is kind of changing from what he used to do. When he used to slam doors in the house, then he got mad, then he don't slam doors. He's knowing how to handle his anger management. He's knowing how to talk to you now. So there are times when the mother is there to say, hey, I do see how this is helping him. He needs to keep on being here.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Awesome, man, I tell you. Talking
to the parent, too. If you have a great connection with your parents, and you should know this, Doc, when you have a great connection with your parents, there's nothing your parent wouldn't do for you as a teacher.
Mm. Yes. Man, yeah. You said a mouthful there.
Most definitely.
And as like we all three of us are educators, because once you're educated, you're educated the rest of your life.
I'm going to retire as an educator. I see my connections with my parents as I teach kindergarten, and I tell you, by having the best connection with them, I never have to buy anything for any party that I may have in my classroom. My parents will come with food for days. I don't have to put a dollar on the table. Anything I need for my classroom, decorations, anything. My parents, because I have a great connection with them, they will bring what I need.
Awesome.
Well, I have 13 black males in my school that I recruited, and three were kindergarten teachers. And if you can get them early and start it early, I like what you're doing because you're spreading that message that from the time they enter this world, pretty much about the time that we get them in the schools until they leave, you're tracking them, you're following them, you're encouraging them. So continue to do what you're doing. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, and a lot of things for a lot of teachers is keeping up with your kid when they're in third grade.
That's a transitional year.
After they leave me, I still have their numbers, I still have contact, and I call to check up on, how is such and such doing. Keeping that connection with them on the line is very important because I want to know what my kids are doing after they don't leave kindergarten, after they don't hit seventh grade, after they don't hit high school.
And that was my next question, because we ask questions to kind of help you bring more out about your program. That's why we ask the questions. Five years, you said you started 5 years ago. So now they were in kindergarten 5 years ago, you have kids now hitting middle school?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
what's
the success rate? How's the success rate doing now? What is it looking like?
The grade is good. A lot of our kids, you talking for the program or in school?
In school.
All
in the program.
In school. With the school, then I see a lot of, if you catch a lot of stuff, and we know about, different stuff that happens with kids, autism, and they're trying to put them on the pills and all that stuff. But a lot of stuff, if you catch it in the kindergarten level, all that stuff kind of wears off. Because I know, I had a lot of kids that were kind of artistic coming through with me, and you had to kind of just report on that. And then you see how they grew out the artistic phase going into fifth or sixth grade. So a lot of them are moving on. I think probably one out of probably 50 that probably still kind of had some problems.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So
okay.
a lot of my kids that are in that I know that don't have fathers that went through my that I taught are going to be a part of this program as well. So I already had the connection with the parent, and that kind of was a buy-in for them. We already know Mr. Tim, so we have no problem in bringing our kids with mentors and all that stuff.
Wonderful. So how many mentors do you have currently that's working
right
with
now,
the program?
We're going to have starting off 15 mentors.
Awesome. Awesome. Man, that's awesome. I tell you, Tim, that's what we
need
to be able to
follow. Look, you need to come on down one Saturday when we have our start to meet with the boys. Because, you know, we're going to start having, like, a session where we talk to the boys. It's called Real Talk. And Real Talk
okay.
is basically bringing the boys to the floor and saying, what's on your chest? Because a lot of our young men have a lot on their chest, and they feel like they can't talk to people or they can't talk to their mom about what they're going through. And what they do is put it all on the table. This is what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with a smoking issue. I'm smoking weed all the time. I'm dealing with drinking alcohol. I'm dealing with, you know, I want to commit suicide. You know, my mom on drugs, and it's just killing me inside. Because they can't vent that to their friends. They can't vent that to their mama, their parent. They come to the session, Real Talk, and it ain't no judgment.
Awesome. That's what I'm talking about right there. Got you.
And do you have some of your sessions on how to treat women and etiquette, things of that nature?
Yeah, we got etiquette, how to treat women. That's down the line. We have discipline sessions, you know, such as, you know, we got one of the brothers that is the alpha, and he wants to start like a step team as well.
Wonderful.
That's what I'm talking about. Awesome.
So
Tim, I can tell
you
right
know,
now, those things are awesome. Go ahead on, Tim.
We're going to have to get you down here, Doc.
Speak
to the group.
We're going to talk more, and you can get Doc down there because Doc want to be able to share what he has. Because we have to make a difference with our young people, and it's all about us playing a part. We can't wait on anybody else. As we said, block by block. We can't do block by block by sitting back waiting on the man in the white horse or the person on the white horse. And we got to get out and do it.
Because the white horse is not coming.
No, it's not coming.
If the white horse is not coming,
what you want to.
There you go.
If it's coming.
But
one person
can
make a difference, and for our listening audience, each time we have talking real to you, that's what we hammer that home, that each one of us, how small or how large, can make a difference. This young man, young teacher, went through a fatherless upbringing, but look at him today, and he's giving back. Just one person on his block that he's doing, that he's spreading throughout the state of Georgia. Love it.
Exactly. Love it. I'm talking about also, Tim, but my plans is to be there, Tim, and make sure, you know, we be a part of the story. We don't want to hear about the story. We want to be a part of the story. And that's what talking real to you is all about, being a part of the story.
And 2020, we're going on the road. We'll be at the gala.
That is right. We'll be at the gala. And a couple more things that we want to make sure we be at, because this is just a start of this. But being a part and being able to allow you to talk about Game Changer and the Youth Foundation gives everybody an inspired moment to say, now we can do it. We can do it. But that's one of the things a question I did want to ask. If an individual wanted to kind of start and decided to kind of start up, it don't have to be a foundation, but it could be a mentoring group. What would you recommend to those individuals starting and getting one of those mentoring groups started up?
Actually, knowing that, you know, looking into their neighborhood and kind of starting up with a few teams and letting it grow from there. But that's how most mentor groups start. Some teams in the neighborhood get mentored, and they bring other teams aboard.
Good. That's great.
In your church, because you're, I think I heard you say you're a minister in your church.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have the other churches in your community, in your city, embraced what you're doing inside your church and trying to be a partnership with you all?
Oh, yeah. They have embraced it. A lot of the other churches are kind of, they send young men in there and their churches that are going through stuff, and they kind of just say, Tim, he needs to be in this program. One thing I like about Clayton County Church is we're very connected. It's no kind of jealousy of like, oh, no, you don't go to that church, so we ain't going to send you over there. You know, that's a great thing in Clayton County. I go to all the ministers' meetings, and they always give me, hey, I got a name for my church. I need to send you this person to your youth group.
Wow.
That's
awesome, man. Awesome.
By connecting with the church, most of them always giving, you know, gift cards, $25 gift cards. I always ask them anything that they can give, such as gift cards. That way we can reward, say, if Johnny went to school and he made the honor roll, we reward him with a $25 gift card that one of the churches gave to us.
Wow.
Got
me saying over here because we really need to do that. You know, we need to begin to have incentives to our young people, you know, when they're successful. Also, we need to have some way that we can turn the other individuals around. Sometimes, again, give their flowers while they yet live is so important to our young people.
And
we don't think it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's always good to appreciate them or give them some kind of, like, I like to give, like, certificates, like, hey, he did this, da-da-da-da, most improved, because a lot of them don't hear that at home. A lot of these kids don't hear that. A lot of the kids hear, my mom's on crack, and she ain't showing me no love, or my dad is an alcoholic, he don't care about me. So they have to hear some inspirational. Some of these kids, they come from homes that they're really broken. And so they begin to be broken kids. And that's where we come in and step in and build them back up. Because a lot of them
And it's
important
for them to have committed teachers inside the schools like you, who, when they come in from the homes, be inspirational when it comes the first thing in the morning. Good morning. How you doing? You know, because sometimes they're really ready to talk as soon as they get there. You know, things have been so bad. You know, they got to express it some way.
Sometimes we have to go to the school because there are teachers that are just there for a check. They're not like that. We had to go to the school on a teacher. And because I'm very close to our school board, it became an issue because I went to the school board and said, this is what this guy came back and told us.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher didn't care. The teacher just wanted him to take the test, da 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 da. But, and so it's one of those things where if you're a teacher, you got to be willing to put on every hat when it comes to your student. You might have to put on a barber hat. Some of my kids that come to my class, I'm very, very, my young men and hair, your hair being combed and all that stuff. So I have a brush. And I'll brush their hair. Got Vaseline putting on their head because I believe in that's what their parents should do, but their parent might not know to do.
Well, let me give you another tip. Establish a partnership with a local barber or two in your community that will help you out with that. That's what we did, and it really worked because that barber also became a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wow. That's what we're talking about. Talking real to you. We talking to you, and we're letting you know how you can make a difference. You can do the same. 347-857-4278. 4192, call in, let us know what exactly is going on with you. You know, I look at my board and the board is lit up and people's on the line, but I think some people just want to listen because they know this is so interesting, because if we don't come together and be a village and raise our young people or raise the whole community, I think sometimes we're so caught up in that we just got to do children, but adults need to be at a point, need some stability too in their life. And they can find someone that's willing to do some things with them, it'll help out. We can all be mentors, not just big brothers, big sisters to young people, but we can be a big cousin, big friend to that person and really be in line to make a difference in life, because they're struggling. Some people are struggling. We can think everybody got everything at their hand, but if you're not, you might be unemployed, you don't have a job, you're unemployed, you don't have a job, then you might have a job and not making very much money. So they can't survive. So we got to have programs all over that taken block by block. And that's what we want to do. We're going to make sure we're doing. And that's what Tim is doing, block by block. He's taking it. He ain't trying to take everybody. He ain't trying to do everybody in Georgia. He's just trying to take block by block. Go ahead on, brother.
Doctor, and
give us your contact information again. You might want to repeat it because we may have some people that joined us late, and repeat how they can get in touch with you.
404-587-1761, and that's Timothy_Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, @hotmail.com. And also, to piggyback off of you, with some of the adults, the women that come, they might not have jobs, and we hooked them up because I have a great connection with people. We hooked them up with jobs, and it was four cases of four young ladies with their sons that was basically homeless. Not homeless in, like, sleeping on the street, but homeless in, I got an apartment, but we don't got food in the refrigerator, or our lights might be off, and we might have to use candles. So what we do, and we go in, and we pay for their bill. Turn it on, we put food in their refrigerator so they can get back on their feet to do what they need. Give them jobs. I gave three young ladies security jobs. Not my security jobs. I had a homeboy that owned a security company that gave them jobs to start working immediately. Not like you got to wait a month. They started like, you need a job? You start like 2 days later.
That's what I'm talking about.
And get this, this was without a background check, because he's the operating person over his company, and he looked past that.
Yep. Yes. Boy,
so
I tell you,
you're
that's
operating
what
with your own company, you can look past the whole, okay, they might have did this, but I don't care about a background. I just want to know if they can work.
Because if you got a bond, if you bond those people, it cover just the same as a background check. So that's a good thing about it. Sometimes we have to think above our, think on our feet instead of always say, well, we got to go through this. But you got to make sure, because you're talking about a security job and they're going to be working with individuals. And they may have a checker pass, but they're also willing to work. They may be unemployed where they are. So giving them a chance to be highly employable by being able to work in a setting that's going to put more than a little bit on their table. I know we got all these programs that help through whatever they mean, government-aided programs. But one thing we got to remember, a person can be homeless. I'm going to say this, then I'll let you come back, Tim. We're getting close to the end of the show, as well as Scarlett. You can have, if you got any more questions, you can. We know a homeless person in school, like we know in school, is not a person that's out on the street, but a person that might be staying with somebody, maybe a parent, and they still don't have their own home. So they still consider homeless when we're talking about an education. I can, you know, in Alabama, I can tell you that when a person said, I don't have a home, I was kicked out of my home, so I stay with my dad now. First thing we said, well, you in a home, that's your home. But no, that's their parents' home. They're still staying there,
home.
So we have to recognize that. Yeah, we have to recognize that. So we have to keep that in mind. So we want to make sure you have an opportunity to be successful. Tim is giving you
the Game Changers Youth Foundation, as well as TDK Ministry, and what all he's doing, what he's sharing, and what he's trying to take it block by block. But Scarlett, you have any other questions before we get ready to wrap it up? Tim, we'll let you wrap it up. If she have any more questions, we'll let you wrap it up with all your information again, so those listeners can write it down, because they hear it two or three times, they'll remember it, and they'll write it down. Go ahead on, Scarlett, then we'll go with you, Tim.
No, I don't have any other questions. I just want to congratulate you and salute you for the job that you're doing, and encourage you to keep going. It's not easy, and it can get frustrating, but what you're doing is making a difference. And again, we have to take the proactive stance that we are going to help ourselves and not rely on other people to come into our communities and do it for us. When the government shuts down, all these programs shut down. But we are self-reliant people. We are active people that want to achieve. And I just encourage folks in your program, the children, the parents, and anyone who may want to contact you about your program, to always just know that there is always hope at the end of the tunnel, and that people care. We care about each other as a people. And I just want to make sure that we keep going block by block, and we keep making a change every step of the way. It just takes one person to make a difference. And Brother Kenny, you are definitely making a difference.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, right now, you know, Tim, you can share some information. We're going to close this out in about 3 or 4 minutes, but I want you to share some information. And if some event's coming up that we should know about it and our listeners should know about it, we can be there and be there to support in what you all are doing. You have that opportunity. The floor is yours right now.
All right. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at 404-587-1761. I email Timothy_Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, at hotmail.com. Saturday, I will be moderating the Clayton County's elected officials, what organized Clayton, where the elected officials come in for a townhouse meeting, and the people of Clayton County get to ask the question. So I will be moderating that on this Saturday at Clayton State University from 10 to 2. So if you're in the Clayton County area, you want to stop by, Clayton County residents will be there in full effect. It's probably going to be really packed because every elected official in Clayton County will be there on a panel, and the residents get to ask questions. What have you been doing, Commissioner? What have you been doing, our elected officials? And I get to moderate that. So I'm honored that they invited me to moderate something so big as this Saturday.
Awesome. Awesome, Tim. Well, you really appreciate it. And, you know, we always say you do an awesome job, because you do. And you keep on grinding over there, because that's what we're all about, grinding on this show. And we're making sure, we're taking it block by block. And we're going to make a difference here through this network as well as through your foundation, through your ministry, and also with the, you know, radio shows you're on and the radio show you're a host of. So we look forward to always having you back on the show again. So when you have an opportunity, but you're going to get that invitation, because we're ready to come. And we know 2020 will be there, but we want to be able to come down, especially myself, and coming down and speaking to the young men and sharing the success stories and also the not-so-successful stories I encounter in my own life. So we appreciate having you on, Tim. And, you know, we look forward to having you again. But we're at this point. All right. Thank you, Tim. Scarlett, do you have anything else you want to say before we close it out?
No, I think that we've covered it all. It's a great show tonight, and we are very thankful to our listeners who joined us.
And always, I'm very thankful for having each and every one of you all on this show. You know, we came early. We did our preview show, and we went Facebook Live, Instagram, and everything, and we had about 51 people popped in on the stream that want to be a part of it. And we know they're listening. If they're not calling in, they are listening through the web link. So we appreciate all y'all. This is Talking Real to You. You know, we're the only father and daughter Blog Talk Radio show in the country. And as we get ready to close out, we always make sure we take time to share what's going on with us. We're just doing some things on Wednesday night. We'll be doing our show on Wednesday night, which is Talking Sports Plus, and my co-host, which is Coach Lauren D. Smith, Tremaine Edwards, Coach Tony Starward, that's Coach Tremaine Edwards, and Coach of the Airways, Darrell E. Train Elliott. And as I say, as we close every show, I appreciate you joining us because this is a joy. God is blessing us to have a chance to be here to share our thoughts with you as well as Brother Kenny to be able to do that. But I always leave you with my hashtag. My hashtag is keep on grinding. And that's what Brother Kenny is doing. Communicate for understanding. And last but not least, as we move forth in life, I always tell everybody, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. We'll look forward to talking with you on Wednesday night, but we're going to leave it with this famous thing by Johnny Gill, and that's what Brother Kenny is doing. He's game-changing here. So have an awesome night.
In my love, I ain't never gonna let nothing come between us, my baby. The way I see it, girl, we can rule the world, we can have whatever we want. It's not like you're not worth it, more than deserve it, girl. When it comes down to love, trying to take down everything I would meet. Well, when you came along, baby girl, you changed it all and stopped all my pain. I guess what I'm saying, girl, when it comes down to love, you're a game changer. I don't wanna play this game no more, yeah.